how I got into comedy was really a mistake.
This is Joey Coco Diaz, and he's a stand-up comic.
Stand-up comedian. I always was a fan of listening to comedy, like not live comedy when I was growing up. Like I had all the albums, like everybody else did. I had a few of the Pryor albums and, you know, a couple of the other guys' albums. And it was just something that when me and my buddies were kids, we'd go to my house and listen to Richard Pryor, you know. And I never thought much about it. It was not, you know. And then I went to see it. I finally went one time to see it done live. And here I am 25 years later.
Today on this episode, we'll be hearing Joey's crazy, unpredictable, and somewhat lucky story of what happened during those 25 years. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Born in Havana, Cuba, and raised in New Jersey, Joey's path to comedy is unlike any I've ever heard. And in 1985, he moved from New Jersey and headed west to Colorado.
And at the time, you know, I was in college in Boulder, and I got into some trouble, and I got arrested. And I got sent away for a while. And while I was away, there used to be Thursday nights as movie night. And on Thursdays, all the inmates would get together and we'd watch movies at a prison camp. And one night, the projector valve broke. The projector would always break, you know, like it was something with the film or something. And they'd have to stop the movie and put the film back together. So they had all this time. And I used to run one of the kitchens. Like, I used to always, like, be in the kitchen because I worked as a stock clerk. And whenever the food sucked, and the invicts came in, I would have a code for them. I would say stuff. So we kind of, it was this thing, I've always been like to laugh and stuff. And I was kind of a funny guy. And they would just go, Cuba, go up on stage. It wasn't even a stage, it was a table. And they'd go up there, Cuba, and let them have it. And I'd go up there and make fun of the other white guys. I'd make fun of the black guys, the Mexicans. I'd talk about the guards. And this just became something. This was like every week. They couldn't wait for the machine to break, so they'd go, Cuba, get up there.
Maybe they were sabotaging the projector on purpose to get you on stage.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, after a while, there was this nerdy guy in there. He was in there for killing his wife and a mailman because he was cheating on his wife with a mailman. And he was in charge of the library. He was a real nerdy guy from Buffalo, New York. And he wouldn't say much to people, but I talked to him. He talked to me. Because I'd always go to the library to read the paper after work in the morning. And he'd bullshit with me. And one day, he was just talking. He goes, hey, man, I ordered you a notebook so you can write down your jokes. And I was like, that's really nice of you, but I don't write down my jokes. I got no jokes. He goes, you go up on stage like that every week and you have no jokes? You don't prepare it? I go, no. I didn't know that about preparation. And he just starts, he goes, listen, when you get out of here, you really got to give this a try. Because you got a knack for it, blah, 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 blah.
What was it like performing for the inmates? Was it, I mean, it was basically kind of like an open mic.
It was an open mic. It was an open mic, and I didn't even know it was an open mic. I got out in 89, like February of 89. And I didn't get on stage till June of 91. I was fucking petrified. I used to be an estimator for a roofing company. And we had the week off because of snow, a couple of days off. And I had to stay home. I was living in Boulder at the time. And I watched a movie called... I don't even know, with Tom Hanks and the Flying Nun about stand-up comedy. I don't know.
I was hoping you would know.
Punchline from RCA Columbia Pictures Home Video.
At that time, I was just looking around, right? I'm looking around, what am I going to do? How am I going to start doing stand-up? I was fucking miserable in my marriage. I was miserable in life. I didn't like what I was doing, you know? I had done all this stuff to go back to college, and I was almost out of it, and I got arrested. with his drug stuff, and now they won't let me back to the campus, and I had these plans to move back to New York.
And so working in the cold one day.
And again, one day I went to a job, and they sent me, they said, can you get us coffee? We're dying here. We can't leave. It was really cold out. And I went over to this place, and I sat down in a counter, and there was a Rocky Mountain Post. And I opened up the Rocky Mountain Post. You know, you just open up a newspaper to see where it opens. Well, when I opened it, it stopped at a page, and it said, do you want to be a stand-up comic? I took the class, and the guy at the end of the class, his name was Jeff Arms, and he asked me, he goes, are you thinking of a career in this? And I don't know what I'm thinking. And he goes, I would consider it if I was you. And he got me a job as a doorman at the clubs. Oh, I was so lucky because I was at the end of my rope. I was 28 years old. I tried everything. I didn't want to do much. There was much I didn't want to do, you know, even if I would have got that degree, I would have said, well, I got to go to New York now. I'm in the stock market. That means I got to take a brown bag to work every day and get on a fucking train. I was like, I'm not doing that. You know, so I was left with no options, really. I could be a roofing estimator or whatever. And I just tried it. My ex-wife drove me down to comedy because I would always call and cancel. I was scared shitless. And one night I told her I had a spot and she got a babysitter. And she put me on the spot, you know, because I had to go down there with her. And it just changed my life. I knew when I got off stage that I was about to go into a new realm. I got divorced. You know, I quit my job roofing. It was just an amazing thing. I had finally found something that I really enjoyed doing, you know. If this doesn't work, I'm moving back to New York and getting a gun. That was my options at that point. I didn't want to fucking work. That was bullshit. I was 28. I was going to go to work for you for what? To wake up when I'm 65 and you give me a gold fucking watch? It really hit me. Like, it really all fell on my shoulders at that age. You know, I have a podcast and we talk, one of the co-hosts is young. And he's going through a lot of stuff. He's a great kid. He just doesn't know what he wants to do. And I looked at him one day and I go, listen, when I decided on comedy, like, fucking nothing else mattered. Like, I knew I didn't want to be a bricklayer. I knew I didn't want to be a chef. I knew I didn't want to be a bartender. There was nothing I wanted to fucking do except be a comic, or I was just going to become a criminal. It was that simple.
What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? Uncle Joey here tonight, bitches.
This is a clip from Joey's upcoming comedy special on CISO.
You're gonna hear some fucked up shit tonight, all right? But I'm like that uncle. Everybody's got that uncle like me, all right? He's a little fucked up. He did some time. But he's your mother's brother, all right? He borrowed $800 from your dad, never paid him back. He pawned grandma's wedding ring by mistake. But he's fucking solid. He's got your back and shit. All right? That's all you need to know. I'm gonna say fucked up shit. All right? But I'm that uncle that got you rolling papers that time. And I got you your first porno. And when you got the crabs, I got you the shampoo with the little comb and shit. And I never told nobody, cocksucker. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I left Colorado. And I was doing it for about, I got into it. And I was doing it for about a year and a half, and that's when all the shit hit at my house, my ex-wife. I went to New York for a while, did a dance for about 3 weeks, went back to Colorado. I got a job hosting. Everything was going great, you know, and then me and my ex-wife were going at war with this child, and I thought things were going to get bad, so I went to New York for 9 months. And at 9 months there, right there, I knew. When I got to New York, that I still was just fucking around for 2 years, but there was this dumpy bar called the Old Triple N. Like, it just smelled like ass when you went in there. It was just an old fucking bar that was open till 4. And I was a limo driver, and every night I would end at about 10:30, and I would shoot into the city and just do little spots in the city, and I would end up at Yale, Triple N. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no fucking idea. I was just bouncing. I had a book called Stand Up Comedy. I forget what her name is, and I had a book about writing comedy, but I had no idea the rules. And one night I went into Yale, Triple N. That was a fucking dump. And at 2 in the morning, I saw John Leguizamo on a stage rehearsing his one-man show. And I go, and doing it like it was Madison Square Garden. Like, he didn't give a fuck that it was a fucking bar that smelled like ass and shit. He did it like he didn't give a fuck. And that blew my mind. I was on a plane a week later back to Boulder to pursue comedy the way it's supposed to be done. I didn't know. I had no idea. Meanwhile, I'm feeling like shit for performing at this place. But here's a guy that's a star that comes down here at midnight to do this shit. So really, I went back to Colorado, and that's when I really got into it, which is about 94, 95.
And it wasn't long before he moved again.
I moved up to Seattle with a stripper. I met her in Michigan while I was in Michigan doing a feature weekend, and we both moved to Seattle. And that's when I met Josh Wolf and Mitch Hedberg and Doug Stanhope. And, you know, I really met Doug Stanhope in 1991 when I first started, because I used to be a host at a bar, and he came in to do as a feature act. And he had a night off, and I let him stay at my house because I had nobody at the house. And he was a really funny guy. He was cool. And then he came back a year later as a headliner. And by that time, he had done Evening at the Improv. I mean, I'm talking about this is 93 when I was running with Stanhope. I caught up with those guys later on in Seattle, like 96, 97. And then bumped into a guy from CBS one night in Seattle. He told me that he was booking a pilot. And I was perfect for the show, and he wanted to put me in it. And 4 weeks later, I showed up in Los Angeles. January of 1997, which in fact will be 20 fucking years this January, I'm in L.A. There was a show called Bronx County on CBS. It was their answer to NYPD Blue. I didn't know anything about anything. I knew nothing about Dick. I knew nothing about nothing. I didn't know acting. I didn't know how the fuck you got a movie. I didn't know you auditioned. I thought they went into a club and saw you and gave you a movie. I had nothing. I had no realm of what was going on, and I kept it very light. Like, I didn't get ahead of myself. I never get ahead of myself. So when I got here to L.A., they were like, yeah, you're going to act as this pilot, blah, blah, blah. But that was the shock that they brought me to L.A. If not, I would have never came to L.A.
It's crazy hearing your story, because so much of it, I mean, I don't mean to say, but it just feels like so much of it is lucky.
No,
and
it's
that's
very
like,
fucking lucky. Brother, fucking luck is my middle name with this shit. I was just telling Felicia Michaels last night in the green room, I go, you know, I'm 50 fucking 3 years old, and I am very fortunate that this is going on right now. And I'm humbled about it. I work hard, and I cannot believe at 50 fucking three that I have sellout weekends, you know. You know, it's I'm very thankful for it. I'm very thankful because I have a 3-year-old baby. I'm 53. And my wife, and, you know, this is just a tremendous life that's going on right now.
So your first special is about to come out, and it's called Socially Unacceptable.
That's it, because that's what I am.
It's great that he is. Great to be in Chicago. Thank you very much for letting me shoot my special in the phenomenal city of Chicago, the last fucking frontier. Thank you, you bad motherfuckers. I know you're waiting for me and shit. You ever go to the zoo with your kid? The gorilla's whacking off. He's got a finger in his butt smelling it and shit. The assistant has to cut the banana up for him. And he looks at it like it's a fucking, you know. Go to China. Go to a zoo in China. Go ahead. They fucking got the best animals over there. The fucking gorillas are dressed up like the Beatles, fucking playing. They're reading fortunes and shit. the fucking giraffes, the ice skating, that's... But you know what, man? I didn't know nothing about zoos. I didn't know anything about zoos. I'm like you guys. But, you know, who does coke and goes to the zoo? You know what I'm saying? But then I had a baby, so now I got to go to the zoo the last 3 years and make believe like I give a fuck, you know? You see, $20 to walk uphill to see a tiger that just came from chemo. He got no hair left. He got flies all over him and shit. He's sleeping half the time. What's wrong with the fucking cat? He's sedated. They gave him a Cosby pill, that poor fucking leopard. I'm throwing rocks at that motherfucker. He don't give a fuck. And don't get me wrong, I love animals, all right? I love animals. You go in my trunk right now. I got cat food, dog food, and a ball to lure him like a pedophile. You follow me?
So what are the next 20? What are the next 25 years look like for you?
I have no fucking idea. I could bullshit you and blow smoke up your ass. I have a few little things going on. I have a show over at Lionsgate that they just turned down, but they want to do something within to a half hour. You know, I have a couple things on other networks that they just talk as, you know, and I'm going to continue doing stand-up, man. Right now I'm having the best time of my life because I don't belong to anybody. I do the stand-up. I do my podcast in my office. I'm not part of a fucking clique. So it's very hard to break what I'm doing right now. Like, I turned down a movie last week. I turned it down because two many reasons. One of the reasons, didn't pay enough. It was a great script. But you want me to tell you what the main reason I turned it down for? Why the fuck would I put myself in that position now? I'm doing a podcast. I have no boss. I've worked for this. I've worked all my life for this. I have the authority to ask for what's coming to me now. So I enjoy doing my stand-up. I enjoy going out twice a month. And I do my podcast. And to be honest with you, I'm really enjoying my time as a dad. Yeah, me being at home with my family means more than anything in the world, brother. I've made my decisions. When I get off the phone with you, I got to call my agent and cancel a week. Because I told them time and time again, I don't do 3 weeks in a row. When my daughter was born, I was going to kickboxing. 300 pounds going to kickboxing. Because I did karate all my life. And one day I got kicked in the stomach. And I said, how much fucking longer am I going to come here and get kicked, beat up by young kids? So I decided to do something I never did before, which I fucking hated. I hate men's feet. I hate feet. I joined jiu-jitsu. The most hardest thing I have ever done in my life. When I walked in there, I was 340 pounds before my daughter was born. Every time I would go, the teacher would make me sign a waiver. He'd go, Joey, every time you come, I think you're going to die. Your head gets red and shit. I sucked at it. Until today, I still suck. But I keep showing up.
While some may call Joey Coco Diaz's career a series of fortunate mistakes, maybe, just maybe, his work had something to do with it as well.
It's all you got to do with anything is just keep showing up. That's it. And thank God I did it. I'm so fucking happy I did it because it saved my life, you know?
So you have a podcast and the special.
I just hope people watching the special, they realize this is 25 years of work. I worked really hard. I took it serious. And I'm really happy that New Wave and CISO gave me the opportunity. That's it.
And the podcast is?
Yeah, The Church of What's Happening Now on iTunes. Monday mornings and Wednesday mornings. Just waiting for you.
And people can find you online.
Twitter, Matt Flavor. Matt Flavor at Twitter. Joey Diaz at Facebook. I got an Instagram, but I don't take pictures. A friend of mine fucks me. He puts up little posters and stuff.
Thanks so much.
Hey, man, thank you. If you need anything else, you have my number, brother.
And thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you like this episode, tell your friends. We're also on Twitter at CISO Show. That's S-E-E-S-O Show. And while you're following us on Twitter, if you feel like it, you can always share the podcast. It feels good. Try it. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
Good.